In the NFL, there is no margin for error. As you know, one mistake can change the outcome of an entire game. That's the same thing about your life and making sure you get the proper sleep so you get done in your day exactly what you want, because you're focused and you have everything in order. And the people who can help you do that are our friends at Sleep Number. Their mission is to provide the players of the NFL and you with data and insights to optimize your sleep for the ultimate competitive edge. Don't just take my word for it. How about 95% of the Los Angeles Rams? They've got a Sleep Number bed. 80% of the Kansas City Chiefs, they have a Sleep Number bed. 90% of the Vikings have a Sleep Number bed. You should have a Sleep Number bed. My Sleep Number setting is 60. My wife's is 70, just 10 numbers apart, but it means the world of difference because we can adjust our side of the bed to the exact firmness that we want and allows for working out or recovery. It's game-changing. So if you're in the market for a new bed, you should stop at a Sleep Number store right now. See your store or sleepnumber.com for details.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Fiscally responsible, financial geniuses, monetary magicians. These are things people say about drivers who switch their car insurance to Progressive and save hundreds. Because Progressive offers discounts for paying in full, owning a home, and more. Plus, you can count on their great customer service to help you when you need it, so your dollar goes a long way. Visit Progressive.com to see if you could save on car insurance. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Potential savings will vary. Not available in all states or situations.
Welcome to this edition of Overreaction Monday, right before the 2025 National Football League draft in Green Bay, Wisconsin. I am Rich Eisen. That is Chris Brockman. Good to see you, Christopher.
What's up, buddy? We made it, man. We made it.
Yeah, we did.
Draft week.
One thing that we also did do is wear shirts of a similar color.
And it's so, not like we have a blue background. Oh,
not,
wait.
Not to overreact to anything, but
we didn't plan this.
In person, it is different. But on our YouTube channel, it looks very similar.
Mine is a very deep blue.
I agree. Unlike you, mine doesn't bring anything out in my eyes. Is that weird? Start the podcast this way?
Not weird.
Okay, cool.
Not weird at all.
You know what? We're going to Green Bay, Wisconsin.
Yes.
All the rest of this week, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, yep. the flagship show will be emanating from Green Bay.
Can't wait.
And we've got a great guest list.
It's going to be awesome.
We're very excited. Seth Rollins is on the program Friday.
Hey now, has he made any news in the last couple days?
The main event champion will be on Friday. A Bears fan in Wisconsin. So
how's that going
to
go?
I guess he's going to turn heel when he goes to Wisconsin.
I mean, too late.
So lots to talk about, however, about the subject at hand, and it is time to hit it. Hit it.
That was terrible.
That was crap. That was garbage.
This place sucks.
Overreaction Mondays.
Monday. On a draft week.
Nice. Great.
Okay. All right.
How you doing, man? You ready?
Dude, I'm pumped. I said this to Suze the other day as I'm getting ready to go. I might repeat this on the flagship, so you know, you don't have to act like you hadn't heard it before.
Okay.
But you also know it too. I turn around, I'm like, do you know this is my 22nd draft that I'm hosting?
It seems like a lot.
It's a large number.
When you say it, it's a lot.
It's 22.
Yeah.
It was 22 drafts ago that I was sitting in the NFL Network studios, the old one that I first met you in.
Culver City.
Culver City, yeah. Right down on Washington Boulevard. Now it's across the street from SoFi. But at any rate, where we did the draft, not pick by pick, but just paying attention to the first round in our studio. And that was the draft prior to which Mike Mayock, our Monday flagship guest, said, hey, Alex Smith is going to be first overall. But I'm saying Aaron Rodgers drops all the way to 24 and Green Bay is going to take him.
Yep.
And we were sitting in our NFL Network studios. Honestly, like, what is he saying? Like, that's Brett Favre.
Right.
Who's not missed a game.
No.
And is not showing any signs of slowing down.
Right.
And so the Packers are going to take a quarterback, and not just any quarterback, one that a lot of people think is worthy of the first overall pick. And not only is he not going to go to San Francisco, which is his hometown team, he's going to drop all the way to 24, and Green Bay is going to take him, and he was right. And we were just all blown away by just, we're actually covering a draft. And now here we are, it's our 22nd
one of these. And I can't wait.
We've been talking so much about Aaron Rodgers, and this isn't a take or anything coming up, but do you think if he had gone number one, he'd have more than one Super Bowl?
I don't know how that would have gone.
Like, it's such a sliding door moment for the league.
Because, again, Alex Smith was taken by a team that had Mike Nolan as their head coach, mm-hmm. and they were about to churn through a bunch after Harbaugh. How would Harbaugh have handled Rodgers? How would Rodgers and Harbaugh have vibed? What about, as you know, nature versus nurture? And we're about to get started on this pod here, but just this quick point about it, that Cam Ward's going to go first overall, and the question is Tennessee going to be the right fit for him? And if he struggles in year one, does Tennessee bounce Brian Callahan?
Right.
And suddenly now he's on a second coach and a second coordinator. Do they churn through people? Are they going to have the right team around him to nurture him? Or is he just so spectacularly talented, doesn't matter? And there's always a combination of those two things that leads to a great career. Mahomes is obviously the most recent example of it. Josh Allen being one to look at as well. So Rodgers going to San Francisco is an interesting thought. Would they have ever drafted Kaepernick? Would they have ever taken him?
Yeah, probably not.
So, well, because we're assuming Rodgers would have immediately succeeded in a way that Alex Smith had not. So, or did not. So I don't know the answer to that question.
I know, this is fun. We've been talking so much about Rodgers the last few months.
I don't know. Yeah. But that is just something to keep in mind, is where people land. What happens? Sam Darnold, perfect example. He winds up with the Jets. Mm-hmm. Now he's on his fourth team, finally getting paid closer to 30 than he is to 20. And, you know,
there's still so many question marks about whether he's good or not.
And Baker Mayfield and Jared Goff are two other quarterbacks that needed to find a new spot before they actually landed their generational enriching contracts. So yep. Goff more than Baker.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Fiscally responsible, financial geniuses, monetary magicians. These are things people say about drivers who switch their car insurance to Progressive and save hundreds. Because Progressive offers discounts for paying in full, owning a home, and more. Plus, you can count on their great customer service to help you when you need it, so your dollar goes a long way. Visit Progressive.com to see if you could save on car insurance. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Potential savings will vary. Not available in all states or situations.
Even the safest drivers still encounter unsafe conditions, so it's important they do it in a safe vehicle. And Hyundai's offer available Class Executive Advanced Safety features to help keep you protected against the many challenges the road throws your way. Basically, in a Hyundai, you can drive as safely as possible and enjoy your journey in confidence and style. When you change lanes, signal check for traffic and enjoy the added safety of Hyundai's available blind spot view monitor. Constantly scan for dangers and take advantage of Hyundai's standard forward collision avoidance assist to help prevent accidents by alerting you of imminent collisions and automatically applying the brakes. Stay alert at all times and be thankful that Hyundai's standard driver attention warning system monitors your attention levels and can bring your focus back on the road. Safety is all about making the right decisions on the road and when selecting a vehicle. Learn more at HyundaiUSA.com. Call 562-314-4603 for details.
But we've already hit the drop, so yeah. You can get to the first order of business.
Let's do it. And here's the deal, Rich. The old adage goes, the calm before the storm.
Yes, sir.
It's too quiet. It's too quiet right now. Something insane is going to happen on Thursday, and it could be a star player being traded, but I'm ready for something huge.
I think the insane that's going to happen Thursday is right now, if I had to peg it, because it's not that insane, but it would be based on the fact that we've been saying the same things over and over again for 3-4 months. And the mock drafts over the last 3-4 weeks have been kind of lockstep about this. But number one on my list of crazy things, the first crazy thing to happen on Thursday night, would be that number five, Jacksonville, does not take Mason Graham. Mm. And they do have everybody not named Cam Ward, Travis Hunter, Abdul Carter, Will Campbell, who I'm hearing is going to be a New England Patriot. And that leaves Jacksonville with a position of doing something not Mason Graham. And that would kind of mess with the order of things. Unless you consider, would you consider Jalen Walker fifth overall being a messing with the order of things?
I mean, you've heard a lot of speculation about him being in the top 10. You see him in eight to Carolina. Right. That,
that would just wreck Carolina's world. It would keep
Mike Vrabel has talked about him. So, I mean, does he go four? That would be kind of a shock, but.
Right now I'm hearing Will Campbell is your pick.
Yeah, yeah, you keep hearing that, but you know, I guess there's still a lot of time between now and Thursday.
That's correct. But in terms of
something insane.
Something insane going to happen would be Shador dropping out of the first round entirely.
Right. Or going third. I think both of those are kind of equally insane.
Well, Shador winding up in New York City, third overall, after all of this, would be an eye popper because that would reorder things. I think Will Campbell would not be a Patriot. I think Abdul Carter would be one.
I think
one.
You're right.
And then we would see what Jacksonville does. So, but I don't know if that's going to happen. I'm not particularly hearing that. You know, Giants are. I mean, we'll talk about. We've got Mayock and Todd McShay on the flagship on Monday, and I'm hearing the Giants really like Jackson Dart, could take him top of round two, which is a reason why Dart's not going to be in Green Bay.
Interesting.
So, put it all together. These are the top rumors I'm hearing going into this week.
It's so funny. We're just like, we're skating around the surface of so many of these topics here but without saying them outright. Let's go to the number one
pick. What would you like me to say outright?
Nothing.
Okay.
Nothing. I'm going to get to it. I was hoping you just don't want to, you know.
Okay. Keep going.
Okay.
That was an out of nowhere awkward moment.
No, no. I'm just saying we're just like, dancing around stuff. I'm like, oh, I have the actual topic.
Okay, so
let's blow our powder. You know what I mean? The Titans, Rich, as you know, number one on the clock breaking news, they're going to take Cameron Ward.
That's correct.
Seemingly, right? 99.9%.
I think it's going to happen.
I think this is a huge mistake. They should make a deal, trade for Kirk Cousins, and take Travis Hunter first overall.
This is not an overreaction. You know how I feel. You're just spinning the Lord Charles in the zone for me, man, and just hanging it. For me to just take it out of the park and have an umpire call it foul, even though Aaron Judge's home run was fair on Sunday. Wait a minute.
Do we know that? I have yet to see a camera angle where it showed that it was fair.
I'll show it to him. We're off.
Okay, great.
There's two of them.
Interesting.
So back to the subject matter at hand. It's not the long-term answer at quarterback. So if the Tennessee Titans are going to say, we want a long-term answer at quarterback with a guy with a high ceiling that we know we can coach up and who we know we like and can get along with and in vibes with our personality, and we don't want to be this high anymore, and this also potentially opens up the fact that we are attached to the hip, we get a couple more years of runway, blah, blah, blah. That's the reason to do Cam Ward.
Mm-hmm.
And I understand, again, Cam Ward going from Incarnate Word to Washington State to the U. And then the U, he doesn't even make the college football playoff when there's 12 teams to actually make it. That's what kind of undercuts Cam Ward. Is really, he's like, no doubt about it, first overall pick of the draft at quarterback, because that's what Andrew Luck was. That's what Trevor Lawrence was. You can go down the list of first overall drafted quarterbacks. And
Cam Newton.
Right. And these are not the same feelings you get when you see Ward.
Joe Burrow. Right.
So we're not the ones in the building. We're not the ones grinding the tape. We're not the ones who met him. They're not the ones putting our jobs on the line to say we're going to take him. So I just wanted to preface what I'm about to say by saying I understand why they're taking Cam Ward. Okay? Or why you're doubtful enough to say this is the way they should go. Kirk Cousins is not a long-term answer. Kirk Cousins also isn't potentially an answer. We saw what happened in Atlanta last year.
He wasn't healthy, but I hear what you're saying.
You could say he wasn't healthy, or he is flat-out degrading in front of our eyes.
Okay, yeah, both could be true.
Okay, so that's why that's a risk. But I don't think Travis Hunter is a risk at all. He is, without a doubt. Daniel Jeremiah, who's going to be on our show Thursday, my guy, who I will be spending an inordinate amount of time with.
Yes, sir.
Very rarely in the television business do I get to say I'm going to be hanging out with somebody on the air more than you.
I know.
Okay.
We do a lot of TV together.
We do. So he came up with his top 150 list. He doesn't do a final mock draft till Wednesday. Right. So he kicks off the week with his top 150.
I haven't seen it yet. Is Travis Hunter number one?
It isn't.
Absolutely.
Is
he should be.
He is indeed.
He's the best player in this draft. I think he's the safest pick in this draft.
I do not doubt it. And as a matter of fact, like I said, you draft two people when you draft him.
Exactly.
You fill two positions when
you draft
him. I
think he's going to be so good. And look, how many quarterbacks have gotten coaches fired in the history of the way we've been doing the draft in the last 20 years? If you miss on this pick,
yes,
you will be fired.
Let me say this to you. I'm so looking forward to Travis Hunter's career, right?
Oh, me too.
And I'll repeat this throughout the week, but this is the first time I'm saying it. One day we will potentially, because he will be so good that the team that drafts him will not know how to sign him to a next contract. And there will be no value that you can potentially agree to put on him because there is no one like him. And there's been no one like him in this era of football either, that there will be a major to do when they slap a franchise tag on him and choose the lower of the two. Probably wide receiver will be lower than corner.
Yeah.
And he might be like the full on corner, but play enough wide receiver to basically say, oh yeah, he's a wide receiver. Like that's the way his career could go. Huh? That's how surefire I believe that he is. So this has to be something that has been discussed in the Tennessee Titans draft rooms, ownership suites, management offices, whatever you want to call it, but they clearly have decided that's not the way they're going to go.
No, but think about something as basic as jersey sales. I guarantee you Travis Hunter sells more jerseys next year than Cam Ward.
You could also say that you can make up a home jersey for the wide receiver version of him.
Yeah.
And the away jersey, I mean, for the cornerback version of him, or you're going to have a home and away anyway. I'm just, what you can come up with is an alternate third Travis Hunter jersey.
Of course.
You know, I don't.
And that's going to outsell Cam Ward's. I'm just, you know, it's something that basic.
You knew I would not say this is an overreaction. This is absolutely proper.
I don't know if you'd push back on the Kirk Cousins part.
I would push back on that by saying, I understand why you're saying first overall pick, we're going to take the kid that had a knack for comebacks, a knack for throwing off platform.
True.
Who's got a massive ceiling.
Exciting player.
And if I'm Brian Callahan, I can coach that kid. I got it.
Right.
We got this thing. And we're not going to take somebody that's a ball dependent and on offense and is somebody that might not get thrown at on defense, even though, as we know, that has a massive
impact,
massive halo effect on the rest of your defense. Look, certainly, we already got L'Jarius Sneed on the other side.
A corner has never gone number one, right? And we've only seen, what, one wide receiver, Keyshawn, go first
overall?
Yeah, but
we've never seen a wide receiver in corner and
who's
one.
Who's both? Right, of course. And he's only 188 pounds, and people are talking about he'd be the lightest first overall pick ever.
Okay.
Whatever.
Okay.
Did you watch them play this year? He's sick. I would take him first.
What's next?
Rich, we've been talking about this team a lot in the last few months because they don't have a quarterback. All due respect to Mason Rudolph.
Mm.
Okay. And they're in this weird place, right? The place that you don't want to be.
21st overall?
21st overall, which is a way of saying, look, they're not good enough. We don't. No one thinks the Steelers are going to win the Super Bowl. But they're also not going to miss the playoffs to be bad enough to be able to totally reset their franchise.
Okay, so
the Steelers need to tank in 2025 for a top-tier quarterback next year, namely Arch Manning.
No, that's absurd.
What are you going to get by going 10-7 and losing in the first round of the playoffs this year?
I get it. The quarterback draft is supposedly so deep next year. I mean, and you
so
can.
So why wouldn't you just roll with Mason Rudolph?
Tank.
Go
look
for
this man on the screen. By the way, those who are listening, it's Mike Tomlin. You're going to tell this guy to tank. You think this guy.
Great.
You could spot him. You could spot him three of the letters in tank and he wouldn't spell it.
Well,
I think
that's a huge organizational failure. You need to bottom out
in
the NFL to be able to fully rebuild and be great again.
The issue here is that since Big Ben has left, there has been a flailing at evaluating this position. And that would be my concern here, if I'm in the ownership suite, as much as you know I love Tomlin, you know it.
Of course.
Okay, and everybody Omar Khan, and they draft well. I am walking around thinking, do we not have the right people to recognize who the quarterback needs to be here? You know, they drafted Pickett, which was, I think, a smart play based inside the draft. But
that
based
was
on the fact
of
who else was
draft.
Available, right?
Right.
They drafted a kid who's knows the building, knows the position, yep. knows the position in that building in that town, right? And give him a shot, and then decide he ain't it, and then go Russ, Justin Fields, and then don't really give Justin Fields much of a shot to develop, and then go to Russ, and the way it ended was exactly the way that everybody thought it would end, mm-hmm. which is poorly. Which is, we've seen enough. We don't need to see more. As a matter of fact, we'll let you walk. So now we're going to figure out in this draft who the quarterback's going to be, or next draft who the quarterback's going to be. Because it certainly doesn't appear to be the catbird seat when you're going to take back a veteran who you let walk to Tennessee and who you chose Mitchell Trubisky over in his last year before you... In your town before you handed him a mop towards the end of the season, and then he cleaned it up well enough to actually lead the team to the playoffs or finish the season to get them to the playoffs, and wait for Rodgers at age 41 to decide if he wants to take a one-year deal.
Right, and then what? You're right back where we are in 2 years,
and
one or 2 years.
If you are, and then you're deep down in the draft, it's entirely possible to find, and plus they could take one in the second round, third round this year. Well, the second round, they don't have their pick, but they can take one and see how it works. Tanking is just not happening, bro.
You know,
not looking at Cam Hayward and saying we're tanking. You're not looking at TJ Watt and saying we're tanking.
Well,
you're not looking
at Pittsburgh and saying you're tanking TJ Watt.
Or the Rooney's. No, they just stop.
You get your second round pick back that you lost. Cam Hayward, I agree. Look, we love Cam Hayward. He's at the end of his career. He's not going to be here for the new quarterback and the new regime and the new way of going forward.
They need to
bottom out, and they're never going to, and they're going to be stuck in this purgatory. And every year we're going to have the same conversations should they fire Tomlin? Oh, should they not? Should they keep it going? So you'll just go 9-8 and 10-7, right. And you're right back where you started.
Listen, I understand your general premise is they got to try something else because what they're doing isn't working.
For a decade.
I understand it. But what they need to do is find the young kid and stick with him. That's it.
They probably gave up on Kenny Pickett too early.
Maybe so. I don't know. But again, they know in the building. So I will call this an overreaction. The Pittsburgh Steelers do not tank. Hey, folks, Game Time Tickets is available for you to take your friends and your family to go to a game in the last minute. And Game Time, certainly the last minute, Game Time has these great last minute tickets. They've got the last minute deals. You can save up to 60% buying last minute for sports, concerts, comedy, theater, and more. They have zone deals. So basically what you do is you choose a section, you let Game Time pick the seats. You get a great deal there. And then before you check out, all in pricing, that's my favorite part. You toggle this feature, you see your entire total upfront, not a single surprise fee at checkout. And of course, with what's going on, baseball is in full swing. Mm-hmm. You've got the playoffs going on in basketball and hockey. So memories can be made on the spot when you go to a game, thanks to Game Time. Take the guesswork right out of buying tickets with Game Time. Download the Game Time app, create an account, use our code OVERREACTION. You get $20 off your first purchase. Terms apply. Visit GameTime.co for restrictions. Again, create an account. Redeem our code OVERREACTION, and you get $20 off your first purchase. Download the GameTime app today. Last minute tickets, lowest price guaranteed. Christopher, let's get to our second half.
All right, let's get to the second half.
This episode is brought to you by Chevy Silverado. When it's time for you to ditch the blacktop and head off-road, do it in a truck that says no to nothing. The Chevy Silverado Trail Boss. Get the rugged capability of its Z71 suspension and 2-inch factory lift. Plus, impressive torque and towing capacity thanks to an available Duramax 3-liter turbo diesel engine. Where other trucks call it quits, you'll just be getting started. Visit Chevy.com to learn more.
24 chefs, 24 culinary showdowns, for 24 hours straight. Which chef will outcook, outpace, outlast the competition?
No chef
escapes the clock.
Season premiere 24 and 24, Last Chef Standing, Sunday, April 27th at 8. See it first on Food Network. Stream next day on Max.
Three great topics here.
You have possession to start the second.
Oh, excellent. Half. Thank you. Thank you. I choose to receive.
Well, actually, you're giving, but it's okay.
Okay, great, sir. The toughest evaluation in this draft is Shedeur Sanders, and I think it's fair to say that, because you hear from all the information people, and Adam Schefter said today, you know, several GMs don't even have him as a first-round grade, and then he could go third overall. The Giants spent more time at Colorado games working him out than any other team, yes. Right? So he could go conceivably anywhere from 30 to 33. We have no idea. I think he's going to be drafted by a team that doesn't immediately need him. I think he's going to end up sitting for a lot.
I don't think that's an overreaction. And that would mean that he gets drafted by a team in the 20s. He gets drafted late first round.
By a team that's good, I think. That's kind of what I'm saying.
I mean, the Rams
here.
Could be that team.
Right. Steelers could be that team.
Correct.
He's going to.
Tomlin really likes him.
And I think he needs to sit, to be honest.
Maybe so.
And he needs to kind of learn and develop and get those NFL traits, because, you know, you hear people talk about him, and the only trait that, you know, that really stands out as elite is his toughness. And that's because he got his ass kicked for two seasons.
He sure did.
At Colorado. So, you know, he can learn and develop and really be a successful quarterback in this league, because, like Tom Brady has said it, these guys need to sit and learn and watch the NFL game. And I think Shedeur could really benefit by that.
And guess what? The concept, Stephen A. kind of even brought it up when I was on First Take last week. The concept that Deion as LeVar Ball, that you draft Shedeur, you're going to get the dad up your ass, creating problems, talking about your business publicly. I don't think Deion would have a single problem of Shedeur being drafted by a team at the end of the first round and sitting him, as long as he thinks that they've got the right plan in place.
Right.
And I think Mike Tomlin being the coach, or Sean McVay, what Deion's going to chime in from Boulder, Colorado, because he's brash. It's absurd. Well, it's also absurd.
Going to a team like that with stability, there's no threat of the First Take topic bar of should Deion just be the coach, which I think could happen if he goes to other places.
Dallas, which he's never going to.
Cleveland, New Orleans. I mean, New Orleans has a new coach. Let's give Kellen Moore a chance. No, but these other spots,
by the way,
there's the threat of Deion becoming the head coach.
I think Deion would be thrilled if Shedeur wound up in New Orleans. Thrilled. If Shedeur was ninth overall, Kellen Moore's first draft choice in New Orleans, in a division that is clearly not discussed for right reasons as the toughest division in football. Mm-hmm. He also, I think he obviously knows that division very well. He knows that rivalry. He knows that New Orleans is a great town for football, and for Shedeur to go there, I think he'd be thrilled. But again, looking at this through the prism of Deion is something that I was just saying moments ago, is not significant in terms of whether he succeeds or not. Because Deion's not going to be a LeVar Ball type presence.
He's running his own program.
Right. Yeah. Well, I mean, LeVar was running his own business too, but I guess his son was the employee number one at the time. Listen, Shedeur clearly doesn't want to have a long night Thursday night. Nobody does. Absolutely not a soul in this draft that thinks they could have a short night wants to have a long night.
Right.
And certainly doesn't want to have a long night morph into a long overnight wait for a Friday night drafting. That is just, you know, we'll ask Will Levis, right?
Geno Smith.
So nobody really wants that at all. And Jalen Milroe is going to be in Green Bay.
He is.
Could have that sort of long night.
Maybe.
Into Friday. That said, ask Lamar Jackson how he's doing. Really. Ask the two-time, arguably should have been three-time MVP of this league. Ask that guy how good he's doing. sitting there on top of his stacks.
Mm-hmm.
For a franchise that loves him so much that he could demand a trade, clown the coach just as he's sitting down at an owner's meeting by hitting send on a tweet saying, I've asked for a trade. Okay. Bad. All of that.
That's kind of been forgotten.
And then they pay him. And he's clearly with a franchise that with him and with their stability and coach who they just re-signed and general manager who knows how to build a team will have Lamar Jackson in a Super Bowl winning position every year for the foreseeable future. Ask him how he's doing after his long first draft night. So that's just my way of front loading by saying this is not an overreaction. What else you got?
You mentioned Lamar Jackson. How was he acquired? The Ravens traded back up into the first round to get him.
To get a fifth year of contractual control.
I think multiple teams will trade up into the first round to take a quarterback.
Listen, pal, this is not an overreaction as well. When you see the Friday night order of drafting, having quarterback needy teams first up, and you want to have a fifth year of contractual control.
You do indeed.
So it's fascinating to me that the lower 10 of the first round has a better shot of having somebody knock on the door to trade up than the top 10. Big time. Because you look at the lower 10, they're teams that just made the playoffs. Yep. They're teams that just had a successful season.
Stability at quarterback.
And stability at quarterback. Which is why, again, the Rams, everyone's thinking they could take one because Stafford is, they got stability at quarterback for after two seemingly unstable conversations.
Yeah.
That wound
back
up.
Back to back summers.
With Stafford being, well, I mean, this was,
and this,
well, actually, last year was a summer.
This year was
first up. Yeah. Like the new
winter
league year needed to have this done so there could be some order of events.
Seems like, talk about another sliding door. Like, what if Stafford had gone to the Giants?
Well,
that would,
dude,
this whole draft would look different.
The ultimate sliding door is what if Myles Garrett didn't come to terms with the Browns?
Oh, man.
We were talking about it last week when we played Andrew Berry's sound bites on the flagship show about how calm he was. Just, yeah, I mean, you know, Travis Hunter's Otani and, you know, I
this
mean,
draft
we're getting
could
phone
look
calls
so different.
Of course it would. If we would be off the charts nuts about Myles Garrett's on the trading block. He's still pissed. He would definitely be forcing the issue in the media, wisely so.
Oh, yeah.
Talk about sliding doors. But this makes complete sense that multiple teams will trade up with Milroe sitting there and Shuck sitting there. And maybe Jackson Dart is sitting there.
Milroe going to the draft, I think, is an indication to me that he is going in that late 20s.
I don't know. I enjoyed meeting him through our show. It could also be him just saying, hey, doesn't matter where I'm drafted. I'm going to take my friends and my family to the draft. This is dream come true stuff.
That's true, too.
I'm happy to sit in the green room, eat Roger Goodell's cheese cubes, you know?
It's a good. Let me just write that down. Roger Goodell's cheese
cubes. The NFL charcuterie board.
Good fantasy
just
name.
Sitting there.
Good fantasy name.
You know what I mean? Why wouldn't you? It's very nice in the green room. Very nice. Very, very nice. In that cove.
Do we know how, is it going to be a super long walk? Remember Mac Jones?
I don't know.
We walked for like 20
minutes.
I'll let
you know. That's part of our Wednesday rehearsal.
Oh, good.
We rehearse the draft choices and it's some human being sitting in the green room
gets up
and the camera follows this prospect.
Oh, that's great.
As they put on
the hat thing and
look in the mirror make a few moves and then step out and walk out. And we rehearse.
Oh, that's awesome.
Because we have no idea how long it takes.
Right, exactly.
And these stand-ins or walk-ins are told to walk slower, walk a little fast. Absolutely.
That's great.
We do this.
Are they wearing normal clothes or are they really suited up?
I will let you know on Thursday's show.
Flagship, great.
Because Wednesday night is our NFL Network run-through.
I am excited to hear that.
I don't have an answer,
okay,
but
great.
That's your behind-the-scenes sausage-making
there. Excellent. All right, last one. And you mentioned this kind of in the beginning that Jacksonville is kind of an unknown, right?
It is.
They could kind of do something different.
Everyone's just assuming they're taking Mason Graham and just sharpie that and keep moving on.
Right. I think Ashton Gentry's going in the top five.
I think he could, too.
This
is not an overreaction.
Best players in the draft, right?
Yeah.
Travis Hunter is one. I think this kid is number two.
Let me get this out here because Daniel Jeremiah texted me.
Just the stats from his year last year, nearly 3,000 yards. And then the number two rushing total was Ashton Jeanty after contact.
Like, here's Daniel Jeremiah's top five players on his draft board.
Okay.
This is his draft board revealed.
Love it.
Number one overall, Travis Hunter. Number two, and again, this is not a mock draft. This is just top best players on the board.
Right.
Talent-wise and risk-wise and upside and all of it in one. Medical, everything together. Top five. Like if Daniel Jeremiah, Mr. Scout himself for the Ravens and the Eagles back in the all these teams. Travis Hunter one, Abdul Carter two. Number three is Ashton Jeanty.
There you go.
Number four is Mason Graham. And then number five is Jalen Walker. You want me to keep going?
Jalen Walker. Yeah, let's finish the
number 10. Number five. Hey, listen, man. Jalen Walker.
I know.
Mayock, who's on the flagship, he likes says he's got a higher grade on him than he does Abdul Carter.
Yeah, likes him better than Carter.
Number six, Tyler Warren. Number seven, Colston Loveland, the tight end out of Michigan.
Tight end.
Dude, I'm just telling you. Obviously, I covet what I see.
Sure.
That kid was unbelievable. Yeah. There's Cam Ward.
Okay.
Armon Membu is nine, and Jahdae Barron is 10.
Okay. So Membu, the first tackle. Yeah.
According to DJ, it would be, but I mean, there's system fits and stuff.
Of course.
I'll keep going here. Will Campbell, 11. Jihad Campbell, 12. Omarion Hampton, 13.
Interesting.
Matthew Golden, 14. Nick Emanwori, 15.
Yep.
I saw him at the combine. I'm like, that's a power forward.
Yeah.
I don't want to be hit by him.
No.
Will Johnson out of Michigan, 16. Tyler Booker, the lineman. The inside linebacker. The inside lineman, pardon me. Tyler Booker of Alabama. Emeka Ibuka out of Ohio State.
I love him.
He has him as his top wide receiver, one above 19, Tet McMillan.
Second, right? You mentioned Matthew Golden.
Oh, third. Pardon me. And then number 20, here we go. There's Shedeur Sanders.
Okay. Right there for the Steelers.
So if it goes right down, right there for the Steelers to have that. And I'm telling you what, man. If Shedeur drops and the Steelers are on the clock, that will
be exciting.
That will be a party on our network. And again, I don't want anybody to drop or sit here and go, oh, the kid drops. It's great for our ratings or whatever. I'm just talking about, again, I deal in narratives. That's what I deal in. And once again, long night, so you can do the math. If you are 20th, that's like a 2.5 hour wait.
Yep.
Right? 10 minutes a pick, and you know these teams take the whole damn thing.
Most of the time.
So you're right around a 3 hour wait.
And maybe there's a trade, and then 10 more minutes get tacked on.
So 3 hour wait. And for Shedeur sitting at the crib.
Yeah, he's not gonna be in Green Bay, obviously.
He's gonna be in Texas.
Right.
And telling you, man, this would be a great spot for him. The one up in Pittsburgh is as Mike Tomlin's handpicked quarterback
potentially
to go against Burrow twice.
Potentially learning from Rodgers.
Lamar twice.
And if Rodgers still goes.
Man, sure.
You got a nice year to sit and learn.
And whoever Cleveland takes,
you
know, Shedeur could be twice a year throwing at Travis Hunter. Okay.
That's
like
fun.
This is the good stuff.
That's
and the
fun.
Steelers having Shedeur Sanders would be great for Shedeur Sanders. It would just be a long night for him to get there. Once again, just to bring it all full circle, ask Lamar Jackson how that worked out. In particular, Jalen Hurts. Ask him how it's working.
Jalen Hurts.
The current MVP of the Super Bowl waited two nights. Good stuff.
Good stuff. Can't wait.
Green Bay, Wisconsin is
going to
be the site of the Rich Eisen show all this week. Let me tell you our guest list right now.
Do it.
I will call it up, and it's great. We're very excited about our guest list. Wednesday's show, Jamie Erdahl will be there. She's not there for just Good Morning Football, but she's conducting the on-stage interviews for NFL Network as long as there's someone in the green room. Meaning I think she'll have a second night of work. Adam Schefter will be joining us on Wednesday, right after him, Brian Gutekunst, the general manager of the Green Bay Packers. This is all in studio, in our studio that we're having there.
Awesome.
Tom Pelissero and Charles Davis wrap up Wednesday. Thursday, Ian Rappaport, Daniel Jeremiah, the head coach of the Green Bay Packers, Matt LaFleur, will join us. And then Kurt Warner, Joel Klatt, and WWE superstar and main event winner of WrestleMania 41. Seth Rollins will join us, and we're also adding guests as the week rolls on.
Go.
Good stuff, Christopher.
Great to see you, Rich.
For Chris, I'm Rich. The next time you'll hear us in this venue will be the Monday after the draft for a post-NFL draft edition of Overreaction Monday. But for the Rich Eisen show on Monday, we've got lots to talk about right there with John Beck, the quarterback guru, will be in studio. We'll get the last pre-draft words from Todd McShay of The Ringer and Mike Mayock from Our World. And Calais Campbell will join us with his very husky voice.
He's the nicest giant.
For Chris, I'm Rich. See you later. That's Peace. Overreaction Monday. Enjoy the NFL draft, everyone.
Bravo TV star Lala Kent holds nothing back.
There's been so many times where I'm like, I apologize that I said that, but that wasn't meant for you to hear.
Feel you there.
How fun would it be to bring in some Bravo celebrities and make our own bracket?
Iconic.
All right, I'll take Dorinda, you take Sonia.
Sonia is who I wish I could be.
You and me both. I cannot be someone in the program. What's PTO?
Paid time off, see? Oh. You never had a real job.
Give them Lala.
It is nothing but honesty.
You guys know.
Follow and listen on your favorite platform.